This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Glory Hunters podcast. Thanks for downloading us wherever you are. James and Mark Smith, Yes. Hello. You're representing Palace this week. Looking forward to it?
I am. Do I have time to tell my Peter Andre story?
Nope.
Okay.
Yes, I am looking forward to it.
Thank you, Mark.
Is that what you wanted?
You've been on before, haven't you, Mark?
I have, as you can tell. Nice and concise.
Very nice
professional,
and concise.
I call
and
it.
Opposite you are Mark Dolan and the wonderful Natalie Sawyer here every week. Mark, representing Spurs.
Yes, feeling a lot of pressure because it's a podcast. If we don't do well, it's in the cloud forever.
Forever. Forever. So, you know, whoever
right
loses
you
today,
are,
live with it for the rest of your life.
Covered in shame for the rest of your life. Let's hear how everybody got on. Hello, I'm Charlie Baker and welcome to Glory Hunters, the show that aims to find the smartest celebrity fans in football. Our guests are given the chance to represent the team they've always supported, even if they were picked last for games at school. But who will wear the shirt with pride and who will be left in their vest and pants? It's up for grabs now on Glory Hunters. Welcome. This week we are joined by team captain Mark Smith. You were with us a couple of weeks ago, Mark.
I was, yeah.
And who were you on it. With?
I was on with Ivo Graham last time. Oh. And I loved it so much that I have grabbed the opportunity to come back with both hands.
As team captain.
As team captain, been promoted.
A Derby County fan. You're not playing for Derby today, though, are you?
No, I'm playing for a team in the division above us.
Oh, yeah.
Which feels like selling out a little bit.
Okay.
Playing for Crystal Palace.
Okay. So alongside you is comedian and Crystal Palace fan and promoter, I'm going to say top comedy club runner.
Please don't say promoter because I feel like Peter Stringfellow.
Okay, well,
you want a gig, do you? Yeah. I'll get you on last.
You have got the mullet, so that's nice. And that is James Gill. Good morning, James.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, very well. Good at the moment as a Palace fan, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely. Very nice.
With Roy in charge.
I just like to see Roy look happy.
Yes.
That's all I want from life. If Roy's happy, I'm happy.
And what are you going to do when you lose Zaha in January?
To be honest with you, Palace fans by now are absolutely bulletproof. There's not a setback we can't take. Yeah. So when we lose Zaha in January, I tell you what I'll do. I won't bat an eyelid.
Anyway, let's hear it. You're a comedian as well, apparently.
Let's hear
you doing the day job.
I was single between 1997 to 2009. 12 years. For context, on 12 years, the Beatles were a band for 8. In those 8 years, the Beatles genuinely changed the world and, heartbreakingly for me, still found the time to get married.
That's a good bit. I've never heard you do that bit.
I never heard me do that bit. Was that me?
That was you.
That was Mark Dolan.
Okay. Leading the opposition is broadcasting powerhouse and Christmas jumper wearer,
yes,
Natalie Sawyer.
Hi.
Natalie, you came in last week with the claim that you had a Christmas jumper every day of Advent.
I do.
And today you are in another one.
A brand new one as well.
A brand new one. And this is a good one for radio because
it has bells on it and it has lights as well.
Bells and lights. Can we see the lights? That's not so good
really,
for radio, is
really
it?
Really not great. Get ready, everyone.
Here it comes. Whoa! Wow.
Yeah, it even has a Rudolph.
Look at that.
With his red
even
nose.
Even Rudolph's got red nose.
The poor listeners, what are they missing out on?
I know.
The only thing that shirt is missing is Premier League highlights.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's
just have a little screen on there just with goals of the season.
Yeah,
that would be a good idea.
Alongside you is, I wonder who it is, comedian, broadcaster and Spurs fan, Mark Dolan, good morning, Mark.
Listen, top of the morning. It's an honour to be here.
Yeah.
I feel a strong kinship with Natalie buying her own jumpers, which some would say is a little, I mean, you know, tragic is a strong word, but maybe someone buys you a jumper and gives it to you. You don't really buy your own jumpers, but I've been there. I have bought a World's Greatest Dad mug for myself, just on my own in a shop with no kids around. And the reason I bought it, apart from the obvious affirmation that mug gives me, and it's nice to have it in writing, is the fact that it's just a really good size. It's like one of those, it's almost a litre. It's like a proper...
Can you be having your Sports Direct mug? That's the best size mug, isn't it? The Sports Direct.
I've actually had two Sports Direct mugs melted down into a big one.
Yeah.
And it's changed my life.
Now, Mark, you're a Spurs fan.
100%.
Forgotten about Pochettino already. Couldn't care less. Didn't bring you any success. Didn't win you a trophy, absolutely nothing. You're Mourinho all day long, is that right?
Yeah, and how quickly they forget. What can I say? No. The guy's got a legacy.
What was the legacy? Not winning anything?
Expectation is high now. And there's no Mourinho without Poch. That's, he paved the way for us to get a proper manager that wins stuff.
Okay.
Oh, so he was the Arnie Palmer to the Jack Nicklaus.
I was scrambling around for a golfing metaphor, and that would be the one I'd go for. Yeah.
That's nice.
But no, look, of course we love Poch. And I think possibly he may return one day in a blaze of glory.
What if he went to Arsenal? What if he became Arsenal manager? Which could happen. Very easily could happen.
Well, I just go for it. I just think loyalty's dead. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I really. It's unusually serious for this show, isn't it?
It's fine. We need a sports answer. Otherwise,
we've had George Graham, who, you know.
That's true.
We won a cup with George Graham 57 years ago. So, no. Just Poch can do what he likes. He's got a free pass, basically. It's a little bit like, you know, when you break up with someone, but it's amicable. It's like a conscious uncoupling.
Oh, yeah.
It feels cool.
So, the scene is set for Palace v Tottenham, a duel between North and South London. Two regions that rarely ever meet thanks to Transport for London.
Oh.
Spurs, you will kick off next as both teams try and convince me that they are the biggest here today. Plus, Ian Holloway, the Bard of Bristol, shares more pearls of wisdom from the pundit's chair.
If Glenn Hoddle had been any other nationality, he would have had 70 or 80 caps for England.
That's the best one yet, isn't it? From Talk Sport, this is Glory Hunters, the podcast. But right now, it's time for this.
My club's bigger than your club. My club's bigger than your club.
Yes, my club's bigger than your club. We want each of our guests to tell us why they are the biggest club here today. They are free to employ any reasoning they wish. However, this isn't about medals on the table. This is an exercise in winning hearts and minds. Natalie and Mark, you won the bell ringing round. You are going first, and your 30 seconds starts now.
Well, I think the best way to judge a club is not trophies. It's not necessarily any statistics. It's celebrity fans.
Mm.
And Tottenham boasts, a prince among men, Danny Kelly, of course, of this parish.
Mm.
And his brother, Henry Kelly, the Irish broadcaster. And there's definitely something. Mum's got a case to answer there. There's obviously Salman Rushdie, the controversial and exciting. I mean, there were many times when Salman Rushdie was more exciting than Tottenham. But the bottom line is you've got Rushdie, you've got Paul Young, Davro, I don't even have to go for a first name, that's how big Davro is.
Absolutely.
And my favourite thing, when I must admit, I was looking up famous Spurs fans, and on this list it said Ian Duncan Smith, and then he was described by this website as Tory ideas man.
Oh.
Which is one description, but the bottom line is the ultimate Spurs fans are Chaz and Dave.
Oh, yes.
Because not only are they celebrity fans that lend credibility to the club, but they've written a string of hits for us, including Aussie's Dream, Glory Glory Tottenham Hotspur. It's lucky for Spurs when the year ends in one, and we haven't won anything for a while, but look at our stadium. One of my favourites.
Oh, I love that last one. Yes. Is that it?
No. The ultimate chat. What is it? What is the identity of a club? It's not the captain. It's not the manager. It's the chairman. And you've got Steve Parrish versus the Don Corleone of football that is Daniel Levy. Daniel Levy, such a ruthless negotiator. If he negotiated Brexit, the EU would have given us a free trade deal and Belgium. The guy is a proven winner. And the ultimate proof that Tottenham is the bigger club is the catering.
And it's the fact that I've been to Palace and it's a fabulous London ground and it's an iconic club. But your burgers are available with cheese or without squirt of mustard. At the New White Hart Lane, you get pulled pork. So it's all different animals under one bun. That's what you're paying for with Spurs.
Beautiful. What a beautiful answer. OK, James?
To be honest, he could have just said Davro and won the round.
Exactly. Well, yeah, Davro is correct. Up there. But there we are. Anyway, James Gill, you are going to tell us why Crystal Palace are a bigger club than Spurs.
I mean, it's obvious, really. You know, I mean, we may not have won the double in 1961, but the year ends in a one. 1991, Crystal Palace won. Three words, Zenith Data Systems.
Now we're talking.
One more word, cup. Turns out it was four words. Zenith Data Systems Cup. What's more, who's in charge? We've got a former England manager in charge. Why did he leave England? Because he wanted a bigger challenge. He wanted to take on a bigger team. Who's bigger than England? Tottenham? Don't think so. Crystal Palace. Don't fact check, that isn't why he left England. It's not about quality of players. We haven't had Paul Gascoigne, Jimmy Greaves, Chris Waddle, Glenn Hoddle, but we have had Sandor Torghelli, Ivan Kavidis, Adi Akinbayi, and the fact that we still exist as a football club, despite the fact that those three gentlemen played for us, suggests that we are something very, very special. And that's why Crystal Palace is bigger than Tottenham Hotspur.
Oh, that's a very nice answer, James. A beautiful answer. Good answer, wasn't it, Mark? Very, very good.
I'm saluting that answer.
Thanks, Mark. You weren't, but you are now.
He had me at Zenith Data.
This is the thing, he did say
you
Zenith
Data Systems.
You
unfortunately were wound up in 1992, but
The lad got overexcited when he saw the whites of the goalpost's eyes. David Fleet, you idiot.
It's time now to incur the wrath of the sporting gods as we enter the round known as...
Sporting Heretics.
I'm going to invite each member of the panel to propose an idea they believe will improve sport for the better. An idea that may well ignite the fury of the Puritans and the traditionalists. But while sport's moral guardians foam at the mouth in disgust, I'll be awarding points for radical ingenuity. Natalie, you're going to go first. You think every football team should have an astrologer.
I do, because football is all about marginal gains, so this could be the ultimate. In the age, of course, where football is now all about focusing on different elements of athletic performance, I think it's about time that we start looking bit beyond that and using a team astrologer. So they could suggest the best astrological formation or the best astrological makeup of a team. So which signs work best together? So is it a Libra and a Virgo? I have no idea, but an astrologer would tell us, that's for sure. And they could also use their astrological charts to see when the best run of form might happen. I mean, it would revolutionise football, wouldn't it? And we'd all be really interested about, well, you sign a player based on when they're born. Nice. I think it'd be interesting. And, you know, let's not forget that 30 years ago, dietitians, we scoffed at them. We didn't think about what we should be eating.
Scoffed at them.
We scoffed at them.
Love this. Scoffed at dietitians.
I'm enjoying the moment.
Just a matter of time before... Mystic Meg is on Monday Night Football.
Lovely.
Exactly.
What a lovely idea.
I mean, to be honest, we haven't seen Mystic Meg for a while. Yeah. And I think it'd be lovely
way to bring her back.
Exactly.
Russell Grant in the dugout.
You've got it.
Can we not
You've
got it?
Soccer Saturday, there's Paul Merson, there's Phil Thompson, there's Russell Grant.
I suspect that this has already been trialled.
Oh,
Mark,
I reckon at some point there'll have been a very new agey style hipster manager that's tried this. Maybe not at the top level, but certainly somewhere.
Yeah. You think someone, I'm not signing him, he's a Sagittarius.
100%. And the fact that we don't know about it, and it's not big news, it wasn't Alex Ferguson doing this, let's face it, means it wasn't successful.
Hang on, this guy's a Scorpio, it'll be terrible in November.
I think one of the French national team managers tried this, was it Domenech?
Oh dear! I don't know.
Points for
it didn't go down well.
Didn't happen.
No, it didn't work. I think it was Domenech.
I mean, also Russell Grant has been on this show and is a lovely, lovely man and is the king of astrologers. every team he supports is in tier 7 or 8 of football. They've never had any success whatsoever.
It's just true to Middlesex, that's all.
He is. He loves Middlesex, Natalie. We know that.
Good album that he
loves it. But we all loved it, Natalie, and I'm going to give you 3 goals. Oh, it was so good. Lovely. Mark Smith, you think there should be fines for certain acts on the football pitch?
I sure do. We are living through an age of inequality in society, and no more is that as obvious and apparent as football. We've got the very rich at the top of the food chain. At the bottom, we've got clubs that are going into administration, having a tough time of it. We've seen this in the last year. So, what I would suggest is the well-paid players in the Premier League, the top couple of percent of those guys, whenever they do something bad or wrong on the pitch, a portion of their weekly salary gets put into a slush fund, which then helps out with the teams at the bottom of the pyramid. Fines could be like this. There could be a 5-yard pass that you miss, a simple 5-yard pass. That's all right. £10,000 fine. Caught spitting on camera?
Yeah.
£25,000 fine. Thank you very much.
Hate the spitting.
Missed penalty.
I'd be bankrupt.
£50,000. £50,000.
For a missed pen.
For a missed pen.
Like it.
And the best one, if you hit the first man on a corner, £1 billion.
Yeah, totally, yeah. I wasn't sure of it now.
£1 billion.
Yes. Minimum £1 billion. Yeah. That is the most infuriating thing that I can. And if they do it 3 times in the game, just sack them.
Okay. Mark, can I shake your hand on a radio show? That makes no sense.
What if you go down holding your face and then on VAR they've seen that it's nowhere near your face?
You have your house taken.
Charlie,
off
you seem to have misunderstood this. They're not the only things I would be fining you for.
Just
that example. That will certainly be in there.
I was asking just, what sort of fine that would get.
I think it would be. It's worse than a missed pen. I think you go on percentages at that point, and you say it's 75% of your weekly income.
Jack Grealish's haircut?
He's not allowed to play.
Oh, right. I like it. I think it would bankrupt a lot of clubs very, very quickly. So I think spitting is part and parcel of the game, unfortunately.
Oh, if you're caught on screen.
Why, though? I don't like
because they need to get rid of it, Natalie. They need to clear their lungs so they can run around.
But there's jeopardy because he's talking about only on camera.
Yes.
Yeah, but you're always on camera, hence VAR.
No. We're not going to VAR spitting, Charlie. It's not going to happen.
Well, it would eventually. It's a rocky road.
And it wouldn't bankrupt clubs because this is coming out of the players' wages. And you know what will happen? They'll stop hitting the first man. They'll stop spitting on camera.
That's true because it's a bit like, you know, when the yellow card is flashed up on the screen and you can see if it's like the first or second yellow, and then you could just have a little running score of how much debt they're in.
That's
sort of rolling totaliser. This match has raised £400,000 for Macclesfield Town.
Yes.
Do you know what? I wasn't on board. Now I'm on board.
Yes.
It's 2 goals, Mark.
Two.
It's a shame.
What's it out of?
My argument. 2 out of 3. Mark Dolan, you think there should be a handicapping system in football?
No, I think we can all agree that football is the greatest game on earth. I think it's the most watched. It doesn't require any explaining. But in some ways, it's too simple. And some of the other great sports feature a handicapping system. Horse racing, golf, even chess. Whereby the weaker opponent is offered an advantage to make it more entertaining.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree the battle at the top of the table at the moment is looking like a one-horse race. Mm. And I think, therefore, to balance things out, Liverpool, who are currently the league leaders, should lose Klopp for, let's say, a couple of matches because they're doing so well. And they are replaced by a celebrity manager such as, I don't know, Rita Ora or Zayn Malik.
Lovely.
For example, I mean, I'd hate it to happen at Spurs, but let's say we were, you know, 10 points clear. At that point, we get the dream team of Ann Widdecombe and Ian Duncan Smith.
Lovely. Turning up.
Doing the post-match press conference.
So would it only be the league leader?
Widdecombe, by the way, furious about losing, doesn't talk to the press. So Ian Duncan Smith's got to go. He's got to deal with
it. Ian, you go to the mix zone.
So are you only handicapping the league leader?
Yes, I think so. Mm. Yeah, I do. I think it's all about that top spot.
Yeah, I mean, you've just described Soccer Aid.
It already happens, isn't it? Exactly.
So it can't be any more than one goal.
I have a problem with all handicapping in all sports. I don't like it when you play someone at golf and they've got like a higher handicap than you. They're a 28 and you're a 12. And they go, oh, I beat you. You go, no, well, you didn't beat me. Mm-hmm. I gave you 12 shots. I think the handicapping system is ridiculous in all sports.
You're going to be fun playing sport with your kids.
If you are the fastest, you are the fastest. If you're the fastest horse, you're the fastest horse. Shouldn't be any handicapping at all. So it shouldn't happen in football either. But you turned up, so I'm going to give you one goal there, Mark. Mm-hmm. James Gill.
Yes.
No administration, no complaints, it says here.
If your club has never been in administration, you should not be allowed to whinge because you don't know what true suffering is. Mm. There is nothing more infuriating than these Arsenal fans these past few years bursting into tears because Arsene Wenger kept winning the FA Cup every season and they were making out like they'd witnessed some sort of atrocity. Crystal Palace have been under administration more times than we've won actual trophies. And I genuinely think that if you are caught whinging and your club hasn't been in administration, immediate 3 points penalty per whinge. Wow. Yeah, that's how brutal it will be. So again, stewards listening out. Excuse me, someone was singing Emery out over there. Yep, yeah, 3 points off. It would improve football for the better. But Arsenal fans in particular are the worst because the way they wring their hands, these YouTube people losing their minds, and you're like, you don't know what you're talking about. You've got about 50 trophies in the cabinet and you're all...
You don't know true pain.
You don't know true pain.
Yeah. You haven't won the Zenith Data Systems,
they haven't won the
though,
Zenith
mate.
Data Systems.
So they do know true pain, so they haven't won that. So you've tripped yourself up there. I'm going to give you one goal for it, James.
Unbelievable.
So there we are. That is the end of Sporting Heretics. And the scores are Spurs 8, Palace 5.
It's hit the facial part of his head there.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the Glory Hunters podcast. Subscribe. You don't miss out on any of this magic. Time now for Back in the Day, where we travel back to a landmark moment in both clubs' history. Mark and James, we're going to go back to 2013 and this.
Kevin Phillips, 39 years of age, places the ball on the spot for Crystal Palace against the team that started his career. He steps up right-footed, blasts the ball past Manuel Almunia and into the net, and Kevin Phillips may have just sent Crystal Palace to the promised land.
Kevin Phillips' extra time penalty against Watford in the playoff final saw Palace return to the top flight after an 8-year absence. But what else do you remember of that year, 2013? Question one. Watching from the stands that day was Watford's biggest fan and one-time owner, Sir Elton John. But what was particularly significant about Elton's appearance at Wembley that day? A. Did he perform on the pitch before the match? B. Was he taking his son Zachary to his first Watford match? C. Did he vow to dress up as Harry the Hornet for the next home game if they won? Which of those was it? Did he perform on the pitch? Did he take his son, Zachary? Ooh. Did he vow to dress up as Harry the Hornet?
This is 6 years.
Next home game.
I was 2013. There. It definitely wasn't A.
I'm literally qualified to answer this question.
Oh, really?
I am one of the world's leading experts on Elton John.
Are you really?
Yeah. It was
It
was my specialist subject on Mastermind.
Fantastic.
I don't even support Watford.
And
I probably should.
Answer.
Anyway.
You know this answer.
Okay. Well, we've started, so we'll just finish. Did he perform on the pitch before the match? Was he taking his son Zachary to his first Watford match?
Yeah.
Did he vow to dress up as Harry the Hornet for the next home game if they won? Watford FC.
A little bit of sort of mental arithmetic and having a brief sort of general idea of how old the kids are.
I think it is B. I think it's his son Zachary's first game.
I think it's B as well.
Going with B, Zachary. It is B, Zachary. There we are. Sorry, I should have come to you, Mark.
Well, no, listen, I do think... I mentioned earlier Chaz and Dave, who are obviously wonderful artists. Mm-hmm. And we, in fact, you know, Chaz Hodges, sadly, no longer with us. So brilliant, brilliant people. But I probably would swap Chaz and Dave for Sir Elton John.
Sir Elton, would you?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think... Is it in the echelons of, like, sports supporters... of in the world of music, doesn't get better than EJ, does it?
Question two. It was also the year that Maurizio Pochettino arrived in England as the manager of Southampton. Up until that point, what was Pochettino's major claim to fame on these shores? Was it A, did he miss a penalty against England during the quarterfinal shootout in the 1998 World Cup? B, did he give away a penalty against England in the same game? Or C, did he give away a penalty in the 2002 World Cup match against England that saw David Beckham score?
It's C.
I've never seen James look more happy, and he's always looked happy. But now I'm convinced.
I mean, he did think that quote. He knew that quote earlier.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I did know the quote. I was right.
I think this is B, but I'm going to go with James.
It's C.
Gill.
It is C.
OK, let's find out.
Scholes back to Owen. Now, was he caught there? Yes, he was. Michael Owen has won a penalty for England. Pochettino it is this time. Pierluigi Collina pointed straight to the spot.
He did concede a penalty, but it was in 2002. Okay.
Yes!
Question three. Question three. It's only worth a goal. Question three. 2013 was also the year of this.
It wasn't as if I could go in there and sit down and say, here, this is what we're doing, because half of them are still away just now. So that'll come in time. But I had a word with the players the other day and said that I was surprised that Sir Alex had chosen to retire, but when he had, he'd given me the opportunity to take the job, and you know, I hope they respect that, and we work together and we try and be successful together.
David Moyes was unveiled as Sir Alex Ferguson's successor as Man United manager, but how long was he in the job? Whoa. Was it A, 9 months, B, 10 months, C, 11 months? 9, 10, 11.
Yeah, we'll go straight with, we think 9 months.
You think it was 9 months?
We're going to go 9.
It was 9 months. There we are. So at the end of that round, you scored 3 goals, a perfect 3 out of 3, which takes you to 8 goals, which makes it currently 8-8. Natalie and Mark, we return to Wembley and another extra time goal.
Gina's playing it in. Woodgate! It's in for Tottenham! They've come from behind and Spurs lead Chelsea!
Jonathan Woodgate's goal in the 2008 League Cup final saw Tottenham beat Chelsea 2-1, having originally been a goal behind. But what else do you remember of that year? Here we go. Question one. The man who levelled the scoring for Tottenham was Dimitar Berbatov, who scored from the penalty spot following a Wayne Bridge handball. But can you recall how the Bulgarian claimed to have learned English prior to arriving in the Premier League? Was it A, watching the Godfather movies?
Now you come to me and you say, I'm Corleone, give me justice. But you don't ask with respect. You don't offer friendship. You don't even think to call me Godfather.
Was it B, listening to the Beatles? Sitting on a cornflake, waiting for the van to come. Or was it C, watching repeats of Allo, Allo?
I have disguised as policeman, so I am able to move about with complete freedom.
There we are. Was it watching the Godfather movies, listening to the Beatles, or watching repeats of Allo, Allo?
Well, I've got to say, I mean, Gordon Kay, who starred as Rene in Allo, Allo, moved
actor.
About as slowly as Berbatov did as a striker. But, of course, the point is that he made it look easy. He was a languid genius.
He was.
And it looked like there was no effort, but he did get the ball in the back of the net, which apparently is the idea. I don't know.
It is
the idea.
He did his job.
So, with respect to that, I don't think that you can get Allo, Allo in any country except the UK. Natalie, I don't know what your view is, but I'd say the Beatles were quite a popular band back in the day and that they have an international recognition. So he's bound to have heard the Beatles.
Yes.
Allo, 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 Allo.
But I don't think you're going to learn English from hearing... It just doesn't have... I don't know, you can hear a song, doesn't mean you can even really learn the English.
It's a really
good
point.
I do think it would be a film.
Yeah.
And I am half Bulgarian.
Ooh.
Right.
Ah,
so this doesn't mean I know the answer, but I also know that that my uncle and my cousins have learned English through the TV and things like that.
Right.
So it makes sense more that you're watching a film and you might learn.
Uncle Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I also, I mean, I can't readily remember the sound of Berbatov's speaking voice or his accent.
Well, he's quite...
It's not Scouse, is it?
No, he's quite... I think he's quite gravelly, which sounds a bit like The Godfather.
He's not like, you know, that's good to go.
He also looks very, very similar to Andy Garcia, who is in...
Sure, there you go. It's very all, it's point, all working out. Yeah, so I'm
going to push you for an answer.
Should we go Beatles? Sorry, not Beatles. I've gone mad now.
The Godfather.
Should we go Godfather?
I think we should go The Godfather.
Go for The Godfather. The answer is The Godfather. Now, remind you, the Alan Brazil Sports Breakfast is on 6 o'clock every... Question two. 2008 was also the year of this.
Torres is in here, and Fernando Torres scores for Spain. And what was Jens Lehmann doing? He's broken the barrier. The drought is over for 24-year-old Fernando Torres.
Spain beat Germany in the final of the European Championship, which was held in Austria and Switzerland. But those two nations weren't the only joint bid to host that year's tournament. Can you tell me which of the following pairs also submitted a bid? Was it A, Spain and Portugal, B, Czech Republic and Slovakia, C, Scotland and Ireland?
Right. Now, this is a tricky one.
Spain and Portugal rings a bell, doesn't it? But would that be for the World Cup, wouldn't it?
I can't imagine Czechoslovakia, although...
You're not feeling the Czech Republic and Slovakia.
Just not feeling that Eastern European vibe this time.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't know why I want to say Scotland and Ireland, but I can't imagine they have enough stadia.
They've got race courses. And I can say that as a Dolan. It's very much in the family DNA.
In Ireland,
we love a day of
the
races.
The League of Ireland, of course. Scotland and Ireland.
Yes, but you have to have enough capacity and facilities.
Well, Ireland is an iconic sport. Ireland is an iconic sporting nation, but it's very fragmented.
Let's just have an answer.
Okay,
go on, Mark.
I'm going to go Czech Republic and Slovakia.
Wow.
Czech Republic and Slovakia.
Yeah.
Should have gone with Natalie. It was Scotland and Ireland. Oh, there we are. Right. Question three. In November of that year, this happened.
Where we are met with cynicism and doubt, and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can. Thank you. God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America.
Barack Obama became the 44th president of the United States. But can you tell me which Premier League football team does he support, having attended a match several years before taking office? Was it A, Man United, B, Tottenham, C, West Ham?
OK, So Tottenham, West Ham...
Which team do you think Obama supports, which is basically the question.
I want to say West Ham.
Yeah, I know, I feel that too.
See him down the bowling ground.
A lot of these... I mean, you know, Manchester is one of the great British cities, but a lot of the visiting dignitaries just make it to London, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
They're just passing through.
Exactly.
And therefore, a London club, it would be possibly the Hammers.
Let's go West Ham.
Is Obama a Hammer? Yes, he is!
There we go.
So, in that round, you scored 2 goals, which makes it Spurs 10, Crystal Palace 8. Here on Glory Hunters, we believe in letting the people have their say, and that's why we do this. Our esteemed panel are about to face the scrutiny of the general public and have absolutely no idea what they'll ask as we play A Question of Sport Time. Can we have our first question, please?
Hello, I'd like to ask the panel, when did they fall briefly out of love with the club they support?
An excellent question. When did they fall briefly out of love with the club they support? Mark Smith.
Ooh, it's rare that I fall out of love with Derby County, but it happened for a brief moment, maybe a couple of minutes, a few years back when Gary Rowett became my manager. It wasn't that wasn't the issue in and of itself. It was when he sold Will Hughes very shortly after, and he decided he wasn't quite the player that, you know, we should be building a team around.
Was it Watford?
It was Watford, and it wasn't really for enough money either. It was like 7 million, something like that, which for a player who we regard as being one of our guys. He's a local lad. He's been a Derby player since he was at the academy. For him to be shipped out just like that was very disappointing, particularly as he was superb for Watford for those first two seasons, and still is, but he's in a struggling team.
It was a good answer. I'm going to give you two goals.
Oh, come on.
James Gill.
Yes, my love.
Have you ever fallen briefly out of love with the club you support, Crystal Palace?
Yes, literally during every single match.
Oh.
Because watching Crystal Palace can feel like punishment, I often genuinely, at least once a game, think to myself, do I even like football? Do I like a different sport? Do I secretly like rugby union? Because I'm not
that
sure that I enjoy watching this. The Palace-Bournemouth game, all the other mates who support Palace thought that game was fantastic. And I said, were you at a different game? For the first 70 minutes, I genuinely thought, I don't even think that I like football, let alone Crystal Palace. So to answer your question, at least once a week.
Once a week.
Yeah.
Good answer. Three goals. There we are. Mark Dolan.
Well, I'm doggedly loyal. I think there's something, you know, wearily dogmatic about Spurs fans. Through thick and thin, we love our club. But there was a small window between 1992 and 2015 when I did struggle. but if you wanted me to really narrow it down, I've got three letters for you.
Oh.
AVB.
Oh,
and
yes.
I think we can all agree what I'm saying there.
Yes.
And this was Andre Villas-Boas, who had what can only be described as a mare at Chelsea. Mm. And then we promptly, off the back of that, very high profile lack of success.
Why was that? Do we know? Do you know why that was?
I think you know how a manager will come in and they like to choose an unloved player and I will just transform this player.
Arm around the shoulder.
They've been dropped. Yeah. I'll prove how good a manager I am by. And I think that Daniel Levy was going to do that with AVB. Mm. He's like, everyone thinks he's a terrible manager. I'll make him a great manager. And it was just akin to your neighbour has bought, I don't know, let's say a Skoda Octavia. It keeps breaking down.
Good car,
steam pouring out of it. It's, of course, hypothetical. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I'd better buy one of those too. Those cars that always break down. It was just like, come on, guys, get with the programme.
I love the answer AVB. Until you went in on the Skoda Octavia, which is
one of the most reliable
very
cars.
Very good car, isn't it? Yeah. Great
best
mileage.
Car we've ever had.
Great mileage out of it. So I'm going to give you two goals instead of three, Mark.
Fair enough.
Because of the Skoda answer. Natalie, surely Brentford's own queen has never had a gone off. She's never
queen
gone
B.
off.
I'm definitely
she's
not
never gone off. Brentford, surely.
I mean, do you know, like, well, I can empathise when you go to a game every other weekend or whenever it is, and I do spend a lot of time sitting at the ground thinking, why am I here? I'm not enjoying this because it's not a convincing win, albeit we did beat Luton 7-0 not so long ago. That was convincing. But having said that, I have to go back to 2015, the season we got promoted into the Championship. We went on that fantastic run. I mentioned this last week. We got into the playoffs. It was also the season where our manager, Mark Warburton, it was announced he was leaving.
Oh.
And I couldn't get my head around the fact that we were going to lose the manager that has taken us into the playoffs.
That bread factory don't run itself.
No, you're quite right. He did need to keep baking.
Three goals, Natalie. Very, very good. Indeed, can we have the next question, please?
Ella, if you could remove one rule from sport, what would it be?
If you could remove one rule from sport, what would it be? Mark Dolan.
How about no referee?
A referee at all?
Yeah.
Carnage.
And
in any sport?
Let's just have it very Darwinistic, all based on trust and whether you're a good human being or not.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Yeah.
How's that going to go?
Yeah. Put the trust on the players.
I like the idea of it.
Either that or in a game of football, you flood the game with referees. So you get rid of VAR. And you just have, you man mark each player with a ref.
Yes.
You know,
kids, perhaps.
Yeah,
kids.
Small or tiny men.
Sure. Can I suggest that maybe 2019, soon to be 2020, replace the people with drones? Oh, each player has a drone.
Whoa. What a lovely idea, Mark. That's a very, very good. Mark, it created a lovely discussion, so I'm giving you three goals. Congratulations.
Happy days.
Mark.
Yes.
What's your answer?
My answer is that we roll back the handball rule.
Oh.
And actually, we allow players to have 1 minute's worth of handball per game. And there'll be a little clock in the corner of the screen.
Lovely.
And it will let you know.
Each
and
player is allowed on...
No, each team.
Each team.
Team.
4 minutes.
Okay.
So don't forget, the reason handball was brought in was not to give a penalty away for a little skim off the arm from 5 yards.
Yeah.
It was so players didn't pick the ball up and run around like it was rugby.
Yeah.
Well, I suggest this. I suggest we roll it back, we bring back that rule, we allow them for 1 minute per game.
Just a minute.
Only 1 minute. And we see how we can...
Is the 1 minute all at once, or can you go...
Yes,
we're going to have 10 seconds of it up now, or...
You can do whatever you want with it, because it's a stop and start clock. So as soon as the player gets it,
like
you
it.
and while it's happening in the crowd, handball, handball.
Yeah, that spoils it. I
mean, yeah. Two goals. It was three, but two goals. Mark.
At which point Diego Maradona comes out of retirement.
Oh, lovely. He's back in the game.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have to. He can just literally just walk towards the goal and just, yeah. They're like, okay, knock yourself out, big guy.
Lob it in.
Very good. Two goals, though, because of James's chant. Natalie Sawyer.
People listening to that chanting right now.
Not that Natalie would ever break the rules on anything, but Natalie, what rule would you get rid of?
Well, the technical area. It's pointless,
isn't it? Yeah.
Why do we need it? It's all it is the fourth official has to just monitor what's going on in the technical box. I quite like the idea that the manager should be able to just roam up and down. Yeah. Like
onto the pitch.
Up and down the pitch, yeah. So there's a corner, let them run down to the corner and give their little tactical ideas. You know, and yes. In the NFL we have it with the coaches running up and down with all his entourage or whatever. Mm. I think it just... Well, I don't know what else to call them.
Taking photos.
Well, they have a pool coach.
There's a guy called a pool coach for the LA Rams who has to make sure that the...
He has to pull him out of the way, doesn't he?
Go onto the pitch. That's his job, pulling the coach back onto
exactly.
the sideline.
So you can have all of this. I just don't see the point. I don't see the need.
For a technical area.
And wouldn't it be quite nice if we could see proper Barneys as well between the coaches?
Oh, and you know what? I think we can develop this because we are a team, aren't we?
Yes, of course.
Yes.
But I think what you're doing is you're making that, what was the sort of dugout area, that becomes like the focal point. It's like a sort of, it's like a TV set or something. So in basketball... celebrities, when they go to LA Lakers games, there's always a really expensive
courtside.
Is it courtside they call it? And it'll be like Will Ferrell and all of these other big stars. And so you could definitely have that.
Two goals, Natalie.
Thank you. Good answer,
two Woo. Goals. So at the end of that round, it is Spurs 21, Crystal Palace 18.
Just because something hasn't happened before doesn't mean it can't happen again. Mick McCarthy, you've gone mental.
This is the Glory Hunters podcast in association with Monty Panesar Loft Conversions. Don't get in a spin, put a Velux in.
Oh, Monty Panesar!
Time now, however, for our two team captains to step up to the plate and argue either for or against a motion that I propose. Like a Roman emperor, I'll give the thumbs up or down once the battle is over. The motion up for debate today is this house believes footballers should not wear headphones prior to kickoff. Arguing for that motion is Mark. Arguing against is Natalie. You each have 30 seconds. Natalie, the floor is yours.
Of course they should wear headphones because, once again, I'm going to bring up marginal gains when it comes to football. We always go on about it. And anything that gives players the extra edge, we, of course, should encourage. We demand so much of our players. We always expect faultless performances and win upon win upon win. But footballers are human beings just like us. The way that we feel nervous and pressurised before a big event, they no doubt feel the same as well. The level at which they also play at means there are higher stakes at risk. Whenever we feel down or require a bit of motivation, I think most of us resort to music.
Yes.
We plug in our earphones, we listen to the songs to motivate us, and that is the same with footballers. It is very easy to say they shouldn't wear them because they should be engaging with the fans, but there is a time and a place when everyone needs to concentrate, and this is their time. So wearing headphones as they walk into the stadium allows them to get into the zone that we all want them to be in.
Mark, over to you. 30 seconds starting now.
If that was the case, Natalie, I would agree with you wholeheartedly. However, I think this is more cynical than that. I don't think they're wearing their headphones to listen to stuff like me and you would, you know, an owl podcast or whatever it is to get us into the zone. This is purely a way of getting more branding into their contract, into their life, into making sure financially they're sorted. Because they've got the Beats headphones on, they've got maybe the Apple AirPods in, whatever it might be. I think it's actually a bad example to set to the children of this fair country, Natalie, actually. And you disagreeing with it means that you hate the children of this country. Because I think that kids watch this and think, oh, it's okay to be antisocial, to be an individualist rather than a team player. I was in the Westfield the other day, Westfield Stratford.
Doing all right?
Yeah. And I was walking down there, and on more than one occasion, I saw groups of friends walking down past me with headphones on. They weren't even talking to each other. Mm. What chance have we got, Natalie? What chance as a society have we got if we're not even conversing with our friends? We're too busy taking the leaf out of the Premier League footballer's book and listening to our headphones. It's not on, it's not right, it's not British. And I am saluting as I say this again. Your Majesty, bangers and mash, Big Ben.
I agree with Mark, I'm afraid. Natalie, I will think of the children. Shit. When the children start to copy footballers, which happens all the time, then I think it's the beginning of the end. Plus also, wow. He did, in that answer, plug my Owl podcast.
Yes.
So that was very good.
That is, I mean, that's wrong.
It was very cynical. It was a very cynical answer. But then I like cynical answers. So the 2 points go to Mark and James.
Oh, well played, Mark. Heroic.
The current scores are Palace 20, Spurs 21.
If Glenn Hoddle had been any other nationality, he would have had 70 or 80 caps for England. John Barnes.
In the dying moments of the game, we move into injury time, where each side has 60 seconds to score as many goals as possible. The losing side goes first, which is currently Crystal Palace on 20 goals. Here we go, gents. I'm going to list a series of sports-based films and documentaries. All you've got to do is tell me which are true and which are false. Do you understand the question?
Very much so.
Yes. When your time is up, you'll hear this sound.
Hey, dilly-din, dilly-don, wake up, wake up.
Are we ready? Your time starts now. The good, the bad and the hungry.
False.
It's true. The Willie Thorne supremacy.
False.
It's false. Attack of the 50-foot cheerleader.
True.
It's true. Warnock, lust for glory.
False.
It's false. I know how many runs you scored last summer.
False.
It's true. The fishing rod father.
False.
It's false. Ping pong player.
True.
It's true. Thriller at the Villa.
True.
It's false. Men with brooms.
True.
It is true. Apocalypse Eddie Howe.
False.
It is false. Sumo do, sumo don't.
False.
It's true. Being Sean Dyche.
True.
It's false. I, Tonya.
True.
It is true. Chess Punk.
True.
It's false. Caddyshack.
True.
It's true. The Arsenal Stadium Mystery.
True.
False.
True. Mm. Citizen Harry Kane.
True.
It's false. Fire in Babylon.
True.
It's true. Carry on Theo Walcott.
False.
It is false. Looking for Eric.
True. True, yeah.
It's true. The Bad News Bears.
True. Hey, dilly-din, dilly-don, wake up, wake
it
up.
It is true. There we are. At the end of that round, you scored 14 goals, which takes you to 34. Next up, Natalie and Mark, I'm going to list a series of stadiums from around the world. Oh. I need you to tell me which are true and which are false. When your time is up, you'll hear this sound.
We're going to start to use your heads. You play football with your heads.
Are we ready?
Yes.
Your time starts now. The Tony Macaroni Arena.
True.
It's true. Cloverfield.
False.
It is false. Menderhose Jungle.
True.
True. Hunky Dory's Park.
False.
True. The Jersey Girls Stadium.
False.
It is false. The Kevin Muscat Dome.
False.
It is false. The Dripping Pan.
True.
It is true. The Babadook Bowl.
False.
It's false. Scotiabank Saddle Dome.
True.
It is true. Tank Top Park.
True.
It's false. Middlefart Stadium.
True.
It's true. Grange Hill Grove.
False.
It's false. The Arnold Schwarzenegger Stadium.
True.
It is true. Talking Stick Resort Arena.
False.
It's true. Mud Honey.
False.
It's false. KFC Yum Centre.
True.
It's true. The Hawtrey Arena.
True.
It's false. Guaranteed Rate Field.
True.
It's true. Nudgers Stadium.
False.
It is false. Petco Park.
True.
It is true. Soccer City.
You start to use your heads. You play football with your heads.
Are we allowed to guess this last one?
You can go for
it.
Say
again.
Soccer City.
True.
It's true. Oh, well, at the end of that round, you scored 17 goals, which takes you to 38, beating Crystal Palace on 34. Bad luck, lads. What do you take from that result?
I mean, given the host was biased, I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, more
everyone
victory.
Says it every single
that's
week.
What, that's why I take from this, Charlie. Maybe listen to the feedback.
Take it on board, yeah.
You know, it's not biased.
You're only one Mark behind Sanger's. Going into the final round.
Yes, and then you gave us a tougher subject.
Well, that's just how it falls. Just how it falls in the script.
Charlie, tonight, good luck getting to sleep.
Okay, I would be fine. Winners, Spurs, Mark.
Well, it
must be nice to win something.
It was the Sawyer. I rode on your coattails.
She was particularly good at stadiums, weren't you then, Natalie?
Some of it was luck, I'm not going to lie.
Be nice if they named the new Brentford Stadium Sawyer Park, wouldn't it?
Wait and see what
happens. Just wait and see naming rights. Anyway, to our winners, Spurs, we say...
Spurs are on their way to Wembley. Tottenham's going to do it again.
And for the losers...
Boo!
My thanks to Natalie, Mark, James and Mark. Until next time, from myself and everyone here, it's goodbye. There we are. That was Glory Hunters this week. Congratulations, Mark. Spurs winners.
Well, I give all the credit to my team captain.
Oh, no, no, no. It's
the boss.
Effort.
The governor.
The governor, Natalie Sawyer. So there we are. Yes. Brilliant,
team
brilliant.
Team effort. It was good. I enjoyed it.
James, Mark, you must be embarrassed.
Very. Embarrassed on your behalf, yes.
But yeah. I've got a story that will warm our collective cockles.
OK, as recompense, you can tell the Peter Andre story.
Thanks, Charlie. So this is a nice, upbeat, happy
is
story.
It quick?
So quick.
OK, get on
10
with
minutes
it.
Tops. No. So Peter Andre was once playing the Croydon Fairfield Halls during the 2003-2004 Crystal Palace promotion season. So the mood was high in Croydon. Peter Andre had been on stage for about an hour, by which time he'd done Mysterious Girl three or four times. And he turned, didn't realise that Croydon is the heartland of Crystal Palace. And after about an hour, he went, do we, this is absolutely true. He went, do we have any Eagles fans in? And 3,000 people jumped up and started chanting, Eagles, Eagles, Eagles. And Peter Andre like nearly burst into tears and went, oh my God, you guys are in for such a treat. Because this next song is called Hotel California. and then couldn't work out why the mood of the room went, oh, for God's sake.
It was a great story. We'll leave you that. Do rate and subscribe and tell all your friends about the Glory Hunters podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.